I would now like to invite Professor Bill Maher to introduce our faculty presentation today.
Good morning. Today's University Senate's conference presentation is on research in the humanities. Excuse me, I am overdue for a cataract operation here. One eye works very well. Is on research in the humanities, which is especially significant to the university's mission to transform lives and serve society by educating, creating knowledge, and putting knowledge to work on a large scale and with excellence. Contemporary humanities research encompasses study from a range of disciplines and methodologies, with particular attention on discovering diverse heritages, traditions, and histories that reflect the current conditions of human existence. The work USC focuses on today exemplifies that type of research conducted across the system by our many peers at Chicago, Springfield, and Urbana. And as befitting contemporary humanities scholarship, it explores aspects of the human condition through historical and literary texts combined with applied, participatory, and engaged approaches to generate shared knowledge aimed at finding solutions to real-world problems. Please welcome Dr. Rachel Haverlock from UIC. Thank you.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone. It's really wonderful to come to a room and to meet the Board of Trustees and the administration, and also to see members of the faculty and students and the public here. And it's quite befitting for our conversation today, which is going to be about freshwater resources that are available. And the story that I'm going to tell, as you can see here from the title, is the vital role that the humanities play in this question of what to do with water. And whenever anyone asks me, what are you doing as a professor of English working on water governance and management, I always like to remind people that fresh water, its infrastructure, its pipes, and its delivery lives in human communities. And if we don't understand distributions of power and economy, cultural traditions, and quite importantly, communication, we are not going to come up with a water management plan befitting the 21st century and the really rapidly changing water geography that we are facing. So my initiative at UIC is called the Freshwater Lab. And the Freshwater Lab came into being through a really exciting program that's based here at the Institute for Humanities at Urbana-Champaign, run by Professor Antoinette Burton. And this was the Humanities Without Walls Initiative. So humanists from different Big Ten campuses and their friends were tasked with this question of how can the humanities answer some of the pressing issues of our time. I did a quick survey, and I noticed that particularly around the North American Great Lakes, there are fantastic schools of freshwater science and engineering. But there was not one endeavor spearheaded by social scientists and humanists to really think about equity, about distribution, about contamination, about representation, and about governance. So I was lucky enough to receive one of these Humanities Without Walls grants. I'm happily in my third round with them, and through that grant, I was able to attract foundation funding, both from the Mott Foundation of Michigan and the McDougall Foundation of based in Chicago. So part of what I want to dramatize today is the question of representation and communication when it comes to water. Here you can see a web page of water research being done on this campus, and it's quite incredible. But you can imagine if you are a member of the public and you see a page like this or a page like this, which I can't emphasize enough, is vital. This sort of research highlights contaminants, issues of water pricing, lead pipes, exposure ties in with public health. But you can see that there's still a little bit of work to do, because how do we take this vital, necessary research, which really can propel innovation, and get that to the public in a way that engages them, that communicates to them the fact that when it comes to surface water, lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, these belong to all of us and to future generations, as well as other species in the ecosystems, as part of a very vital public trust. Freshwater resources are our commons. They belong to us, which means that, much like public education, we all have a stake in their health and longevity. So part of how we built up the Freshwater Lab was, first of all, gathering together with researchers and students some of our local leaders. The Freshwater Lab has particularly been focusing on creating forums for mayors who share a common water source, and to get them in touch with research. So here you can see the mayors of Toledo, Gary, and Milwaukee at one of our summits, kind of discussing the challenges they're facing, how they can work together, and how universities can be part of that work. This is from our very first summit that we had in 2015. This is kind of a remarkable moment, because this represents some of what I like to call water diplomacy. Here we have mayors from the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. There's an American mayor, an Anglophone Canadian mayor, a Francophone Canadian mayor, and they have just the smiles result from the fact that they had just signed a memorandum of understanding with mayors from the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, the State of Israel, and Palestine here, to share knowledge about water delivery and governance. Here's a, we can see at that very first summit, President Killeen joined us, and here we are with then Mayor of Racine, Wisconsin, John Dickert, and he's now running that same organization I mentioned, the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. This is a picture very near and dear to my heart. After signing that agreement, here we have an Israeli and a Palestinian mayor together in Chicago celebrating their plans to work collaboratively around water. And moving away from the summits to the teaching end of it, remember the idea is humanities without walls. And so that notion is that in the public and in public institutions, there's remarkable resources that we can make available to our students, getting them internships and employment around the way. We can cede some of our research to these institutions. And so here's a student of mine reflected in the tank containing sea lampreys at the Shedd Aquarium. Sea lampreys are... Well, you can see from the image one of the more graphic and damaging invasive species in the Great Lakes. And if you have any invasive species advocates or fans in the audience, we can talk a little bit more about this prehistoric sea creature. And so here, this is just seeing again how the wall can break down when you bring humanities research into these kinds of questions. We're having a class here at the Shedd Aquarium in their Center for Conservation and Research. And then it works in a kind of a circular way, because here's a picture from this fall, a big summit in Gary about water management and water tech there. And I'm representing UIC with my coffee cup always in hand. Here's a recent event that we did thinking about lead pipe replacement. I'll have a little moment to push us all in the state of Illinois. There are two college towns in the Great Lakes region, East Lansing, where Michigan State is, and Madison, Wisconsin, that have undertaken full lead pipe replacement. right, really getting lead pumping out of homes, out of schools and institutions. We are a little bit behind in Illinois, but we're working hard at the Freshwater Lab to think about really good policy and pricing and communication around the issue. So here's at a forum at the beginning of the year where we brought together people working on the ground around lead pipes with planners, journalists, and the gentleman in the middle who's a member of the Plumber Journeyman's Union. Here's again another one of these events at UIC's Latino Cultural Center. We have State Representative Teresa Ma there, Commissioner Deborah Shore from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District, Kim Wasserman from the Little Village Environmental Justice Organization, and at the end, one of my own students, Edith Tovar, who is really going to be one of the many stars that are coming through the Freshwater Lab. Here I'm doing an interview with Commissioner Shore. Okay, so I'll go through this a little bit more quickly, but this is just to again show the kind of really important role that particularly storytelling and a humanistic approach can play. Of course, facts are more important than ever and have to be at the basis of everything that we do in our research and communication with the public. But at the same time, it's very hard to persuade or change behaviors with a list of facts. This is where narrative is something that moves people, that enables them to identify, to feel sense of common bonds with others, and to most importantly, approach issues in a new and creative way. So, So how can we communicate? Well, we begin here from a basis of shared knowledge. What can we all agree upon? And then move, once that shared knowledge is established, then move in to some new facts, some things that that are unknown to the group as a whole, have a kind of a brave attitude towards embracing new information. And within that space of learning, find multiple connections on multiple levels through identity, through shared experiences, through shared emotion, anxiety, hope, and the rest. And then to move that network of connections to some kind of action while remaining open to new facts, new information, and as always, new stories. Okay, so what we did with that premise is to create a digital storytelling site. It is available widely and to you, and I hope you'll all visit it, called freshwaterstories.com. And this was our first foray into taking water research and putting it into that form of shared narrative. So there are 12 stories on there, all written by young leaders in the freshwater movement. But what I'd like to do to wrap up, and please visit the site, give us your comments, let me know. We're hoping to build on that further. But let's take a minute and do our activity guide together. Okay, so now I'm asking everyone to join in. And this activity guide, we encourage members of the public and academic communities to figure out what we call the source, path, and people that concern their water. So let's go through it. First, let's begin with source and think together about the source of drinking water for people in this room. Okay, so I'm going to take a few answers because I know not everyone comes from the same place. And I'll also have the disclaimer. I can answer this very well for my own water supply in Chicago, but that doesn't mean that I know about the water supply of all the state. That's why I built this, so we can also get that data and think about how to visualize it. Okay, so let's have a couple different members of the room. Let's hear what the source of your drinking water is. Maybe we'll go around. I'll start from this side. Someone want to tell us the source of your drinking water?
I remember doing this exercise when I lived in Geneva, Illinois.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting river. A lot going on with that. Someone from this kind of middle side of the room, water source?
Lake Charleston.
Okay. Lake Charleston. My table's over here where I was sitting. Anyone want to... Oh, okay. Yep, you have something to talk about there. esteemed Board of Trustees, would a few of you share the source of your drinking water?
Lake Michigan.
Okay.
Same.
All right.
Also the Muhammad Aquifer.
Okay, okay. And at the far side of the room, any other different sources other than those that have been named? Okay, I guess we know from whence we come. Have you ever visited your water source? Let's do this one by show of hands. How many people have visited the source of their water before? And, okay, from this side, since we began over there, if someone has visited, what did you do there? Someone share with us. What did you do with the water source?
Swam.
Okay, very good answer. Actually, purposely my
favorite. A very long triathlon.
And over here, if you haven't visited the source of your water, was there a reason why?
They gave us a sheet.
That someone would share, someone who's never seen it and never gone there, was there a reason why? Never thought of it? Okay. It's important, too. This is also a particularly important question on a global level, because there are often pretty significant reasons why people are unable to visit the source of their water. Okay, obviously, we're not going to do it in the room right now, but we're also asking people here to upload pictures of their water to think about that. Okay, now let's go to PATH. And so this is a question of how water arrives in our homes and workplaces and who manages it. Okay, here's a map of how pipes work. I'll let that stay on its own because this would be a lecture in and of itself. Okay, so let's start over here. Who runs the pipes that deliver water to your community? Someone on this side. Anybody know? This is, again, one of these questions where it might take some research. Anybody know who runs the water pipes? So here it can be city government, county government, water utility, private corporation, or I don't know. Maybe let's do this all with show of hands. So how many people know that city government runs the water pipes in their community? Okay. County government? Water utility? Okay. Private corporation? Okay. I don't know. Okay, good. Are you going to start looking? Can you at least give me this? Right. This is something. Pipes are beneath our feet. So we don't think about how important they are both to society, to public health, and to community. And so these questions are about teaching us how to look underground. Okay, this is another hard one. Service line. So these are the pipes that branch out from the main water mains that tend to be owned by the city or the municipality. Service lines, in contrast, at this point, are believed to be the private property of the homeowner. So let's talk about this. The service line that delivers water to your home made of. How many people know that they have a lead service line in their homes? How many people copper? Steel? Clay? There's still some of these in downtown Chicago. Concrete? PVC? Or I don't know. Okay. So for those that don't know, we've got a tool on here to help you figure out this question. I will skip this. You can see it's the same kind of questions to figure out what the water mains that are run by the city or municipality are made of. This is harder to determine. It can, on the one hand, require some pretty significant archival work. What I have my students doing is whenever a road is being ripped up, I've got a whole group of students and alums who run up and ask the workers what's the pipe made of under there, right? My chancellor and provost from UIC might have seen me out on the streets recently having long talks with the people, the workers, doing this replacement, because it's quite hard to know and it really matters. Apropos of the presentation we heard before about the incubator, this is a really key issue that I feel the University of Illinois could be a leader on, because the mode of water delivery, pipe replacement, thinking in creative ways. I mean, we don't necessarily always need to move huge amounts of water through lead and steel pipes beneath the ground. There's a lot of room here for new work, and I, for one, and all of us at the Freshwater Lab would like to be part of the forefront on that issue. So far, I've only had one student that can actually trace the path that water follows from source to home, but this is another really, really key issue of knowing our place. Okay, we'll end here by thinking about how we are connected and in some cases divided by access to water. All right, so let's make three marks, 1, 5, and 10, and we'll all vote. How confident are you that your water is safe to drink? So how many people would be a 1, very low level of confidence about their water being safe to drink? How many people would be in the middle, right, in some kind of mid-range, let's call it, 4 to 7? How many people would be in a mid-range? And how many people at a 10, high confidence about the safety of their water? Okay. Can pertain to anyone in the room. And this was, again, a question proposed by a student of mine. Have there been any recent or historical health scares related to water in your area? Does anyone have one that they'd like to share? No? Okay. Here's another question. The greatest risks to your water system. We have a bit of a list here. We can talk a bit more about this in the Q&A, but there's obviously a range of risks from algae blooms to runoff to industrial waste to burst pipelines, waste from animal feeding operations, storage of nuclear materials. And we try both to gather the data about this and to provide some resources to understand that. Let's maybe do this for the area of each of the three campuses. Where is the risk most acute? So for our Chicago people in the room, when it comes to water risks, where is that risk most acute in Chicago? Anyone want to share their sense of that? It's okay if you're wrong. It's a public forum.
At the lake.
What's that?
At Lake Michigan.
Okay, at the lake. All right. Okay, so again, someone said over here the South Side. In historic terms, it's usually low-income communities of color that are the most exposed to water pollution. Urbana-Champaign, where do you think the risks, the water risks, are most acute in this region? I sort of know, but I don't want to give it away because I don't live here, right? Okay, well, we can talk about it after. In Springfield, where would those risks be most acute?
I'd say the oldest neighborhoods.
Okay, the oldest neighborhoods with the oldest plumbing. That makes a lot of sense right there. And finally, we don't want to end it there, right? Oftentimes, risks are born unevenly. But what's really important for us in this people section is to network everyone who engages in these activities or reads the story with those who are actively on the ground coming up for solutions. And in this August forum, I'd like to say again, I think that we can very much be part of this solution of thinking about new modes of delivery, of filtration, of treatment. And also in the spirit of Humanities Without Walls, I've learned so much and been remarkably humbled by working with leaders at the city and municipal level, but also at the neighborhood and community level. Some of the best ideas about sharing water, treating water, new water tech is coming out of communities and neighborhoods themselves. And so part of what the Freshwater Lab has enabled me to do is to train an ear there, both as a researcher and someone really interested in having our region become not the Rust Belt, but the Water Belt. Okay, so congratulations to everyone. I hope if you want to engage with these a little bit more, please visit freshwaterstories.com, get some friends and family, and start doing that research together and upload the data. And at some point in this process, we'll be visualizing that collectively. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I think there's a little time for questions.
Thank you, Professor Haverlock. Any questions or comments?
Quick comment, if I could. I did go to the event, and it was inspiring to see the collaboration, not just in the Middle East, but across the Canadian-U.S. border. The one thing that struck me, though, is that of the five great lakes, there was only one passing grade, Lake Superior. All the others were in decline, and yet there were no econometric studies of what the full cost accounting of those implications might be. So maybe there's a place for social science and U of I to really engage, because we're talking about massive consequences that haven't been costed out, really.
That's very true. That's very true. And it's something the Great Lakes Protection Fund, that it's money contributed by the governors of the various Great Lakes states. And that's something that they're quite interested in. And President Killeen, I completely agree with you, and this is a good call to action, I think, for all of us here, because developing a proposal that was multidisciplinary out of the University of Illinois, I think, could get their attention. I've been in touch with them, but that's exactly the kind of thing that maybe for some of us here and your colleagues, that we could start to think about that.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.